You knew from the moment you embraced the way, it would mean the end of your life. There was nothing you could do about it, especially if you expected to receive the reward. Perhaps the hardest thing is not knowing from moment to moment when it will happen. You know it will, but when? Being seen with others is always dangerous. Inquiries will be made. People are so corrupt that they will turn you over for the most base of necessities. You've been diagnosed as a criminal, a heretic, and a blasphemer, and will be hunted down like a common criminal and turned over to the authorities for your rebellion. If caught, there can only be one verdict: death. So will it be, brethren, to anyone found to be amongst those defined as the remnant of the woman. These are our brethren, those who will be called during the end time. We don't know who they are. The Father does. We don't even know if they've been born yet. The Father knows. And He knows whom He will call and when He will call. And during those 3.5 years, brethren, when the church is in a place of safety, we know there will be a remnant left out. But also there will be some who are called during this time. They will respond to the calling like you and I did. They will see the world and the state of the world and will have been told, if you are found out, you will more than likely be put to death because of your conviction. They're going to hold fast to the Word of God like you and I during a time like no other, brethren. They will be able to share with the New Testament church when they're resurrected how they too were persecuted. They say, now we understand what happened to you there. We understand when, after Christ's death, how the church was attacked and Satan was worked up and the church was running all over the place. We did the same thing before Jesus returned and we died just like some of you did. Some of you were thrown into prison. Some of you were tortured. So were we. For you see, brother, they'll be right on the cusp of the millennium. They'll be right there. They would have heard sermons. They would have heard from the two witnesses who said, you know, we expect to die too. Why? It was prophesied. So some of you out there, you are going to die also. And yet, brethren, it's right up to the cusp of the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, isn't it? Right up to the very end. This morning, family, I'd like to, by way of reminder, help us to recall how truly special our calling is to understand at such a time as this why God's holy days are so important, how important it is to hold to His commandments and to keep them as we enter these fall holy days, and to be reminded how privileged we are, brethren, to know what we know. Christ said there are people out there who want to know. They want to know why you are so convicted and why they're not. But they maybe wish they were. Oh, I wish I had that, like my next door neighbor when they found out we didn't keep Christmas. If I wish I was like that. I wish I didn't have to keep Christmas. I said, why do you? Well, my family will disown me. And yet, brethren, we speak of a time when people are going to be disowned by their families, and they're going to choose to follow God, knowing knowing what that means in as far as their relationships are concerned with people, with children. They're going to hold fast to the Word of God, realizing that in the end time, they're going to be pursued and they're going to be murdered because of it. As Jesus Christ said, you will be hated for my name's sake. Let's begin in Revelation chapter 12 this morning and see the wrath of the dragon, who, again, mind so unraveled by now, still thinks, I can still boot God off his throne. I can do it. And he will try, and of course he's not going to succeed. He's going to be cast back down to the earth. He's going to look around, now very angry, and say, well, if I can't have God, if I can't have the kingdom, if I can't rule the rest of the angels, if I can't have the universe, what can I do now? And of course he sees God's people, the church. Revelation 12, verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast down to earth, he persecuted the woman as he has always done. As he always has done, family. The one who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent. Very interesting, isn't it, brethren? First it starts out as dragon, then it becomes serpent, doesn't it? Eve could relate to that. Because, yeah, you know, because, again, we think the world is so caught up, brethren. You know, you see how the world depicts what they call the devil. You know, he's ugly, got big horns, you know, a little goatee, you know, he's in a red suit and he's got this pitchfork. And it, you know, that serpent, did you see Eve running away? No. When that beast and false prophet are around, people could run away, ah, we're scared of you. No. No. Quite the opposite. They're going to be drawn to it. And so Satan, even then, we know what he is, but he's going to still try to, hey, church, come on. Let's be a little tolerant here. Let me allow me to come in. You know, I'm no ogre. I'm not a monster. You don't see no goatee or big horns coming out of my head. But brethren, his goal is still the same, just like it was for Mother Eve, her destruction. God's church, he wants its destruction. So again, verse 15, the serpent spewed water out of his mouth, symbolizing a great army, like a flood, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. So again, see, draw you in close, and then get you. But certainly, again, God is aware of Satan's wiles and his devices and his onslaught against his people. And so, verse 16, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And now, back to the dragon again. He's showing the true nature. And he came like this, but he's really a dragon. And now he's mad again. Because, see, God keeps messing up his plans. Why won't God leave me alone to kill these people? And he was enraged with the woman. And so, okay, if you're going to be protected for time, times, and a half a time from me, there's always something else I can do. And so he goes off to make war with the rest of her offspring. there is a distinction about this particular offspring that's different from the other people who have been so deceived by Satan the devil. These are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The offspring will certainly be what Jesus described in Matthew chapter 10 as sheep among wolves. They will be everywhere. Everywhere. And the leader of the pack is none other than Satan the devil. The title of our message this morning, brethren, From Violent End to Joyful Beginning. From Violent End to Joyful Beginning. For you see, that's what it will be like for many of our brethren who will be living at this time. Some of their ends will be violent, as were some of the ends of God's called out ones, of God's servants. Their lives ended violently. You know, James, the brother of John, you know, they took a sword, murdered him. You know, Hebrews talks about some of the servants and how they were murdered, tortured. Some of them were destitute. The fact was, they were constantly bombarded. But you know what? They're going to wake up. And that awakening will be joyful, which is what we hold to when it comes to the Feast of Trumpets. Now, in the days of old, it took time, didn't it? It took time to try to pin down God's people because, you know, you didn't have internet in those days. You didn't have cell phones to call, oh, they're gathered. You have to go tell somebody. We think they're gathering down near, you know, the creek. You know, we saw them carrying their Bibles down there. You may want to send somebody down there. We saw some of them. See, it'll be very different. I'm sure during that time there were probably those who were related to God's people who were turned over by family and friends. It'll be that way this time as well. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Now, there was a time when some in the church felt that the vast majority of these called out ones at the end time, we thought the vast majority of them were going to be like former Worldwide Church of God members. And there may be some. But there are also going to be some brand spanking new people that are going to be called as a result of the gospel being preached. So although there probably will be some who have, again, contact with the church at one time in their lives, received the Plain Truth magazine or Tomorrow's World or any of the literature, there will be also some who said, you know, this makes sense. And they will come and have their relationship with God and be a part of this end time church. This will be the introduction for many of them. And they're going to have a living conviction. Again, even while hearing that there's a huge possibility they may lose their life. But you know what else they're going to hear? They're going to hear the time is short. If the two witnesses are out there, brethren, you and I both know the time is short. Things are going to be happening. Things are going to be unfolding. It's going to be a perilous time. But some of these individuals, brethren, they're going to be found so doing. Verse 17, Matthew chapter 10. Jesus himself says, But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. And so you will have people during this time who are going to be, quote unquote, very religious and gathering up God's true servants and saying, look, we found some of these blasphemers. You know, we found they don't keep Christmas. They don't keep the days we're supposed to keep. Nor do they keep the Lord's Day. They keep this other day. Christ said it's going to happen. He says, when it does, verse 19, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. Just like it was given to Stephen. As I said, Stephen did not wake up that morning thinking, this is the last day of my life on this earth. That's not what he was thinking about. He went to the temple and things began to unfold. He was not thinking, oh, I'm not coming back home today. So it will be for some of God's people. They'll get up, they'll go out, and people will be on them. And they're going to take them somewhere. Just as Christ told Peter, they're going to take you somewhere you don't want to go, Peter. God says, don't worry. It's not a time to blaspheme them. It's not a time to condemn them. God says, I'll give you the words. For it is not you who speak, verse 20, but the Spirit of your Father. You see, it's the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So what kind of things will the Spirit of the Father say, do you think? Again, it's not going to be a condemnation. They're going to be speaking what? The truth and the Word of God. Realizing that there was the potential for something like this to happen. But again, brethren, knowing that they are not alone, that God is with them. He says, I'll speak for you. So these are baptized members of the church who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Verse 21. Now brother is going to deliver up brother to death. Not to prison. Not to torture. To death. And a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. For what purpose? A little money? A little food? A little prestige? Whatever it is, they're going to do it. Or maybe they're threatened. You know, we'll blow up your house, so we'll take this from you. Okay, no, no, it's mom and dad. Mom and dad do. They're those people. They wanted me to go, but I didn't go. Because I'm like you. So, they will betray them. Fathers betraying children. Children betraying parents. Brother betraying brother. Couldn't help but think about some of the famous betrayers in the world. We would say number one on our list are probably Benedict Arnold. He is our ultimate betrayer. You just say the name, you go, yeah. You put that name on another person. You're just a Benedict Arnold. You are a betrayer. Just say the name. There have been others. In Norway, there was a man by the name of Vidkun Quisling. Before his treachery against his country, Quisling served as a Norwegian minister of defense. He founded a puppet government in order to give the enemy time to come in and invade. It became a puppet government, and the Nazis used that government to come in and invade Norway in 1940. He was responsible for a number of embezzlements and murders for Germany during this time. When Germany surrendered in 1945, they found him and executed him for his treason. Then there was the Greek traitor, Ephialtes of Trachis. Ephialtes became infamous in Greece after his betrayal to his country to the Persians in 480. I'm sure perhaps growing up you saw the movie about the 300 Spartans. It was one of their own that betrayed them when they found the little passageway for the Persians to go around behind and attack and destroy the Greeks there. There at the Battle of Thermopylae. He led that Persian army to a path that gave them access around the Spartans' flank. He wanted it for a reward from King Xerxes. However, he reaped not a reward, but a bounty on his head. He was killed later on, and his name became synonymous with treason and nightmares. And, of course, we all know about a man named Judas Iscariot, do we not? Say that if you're a Judas, everyone knows what that means. You're a betrayer. There will be a lot of this going on, brethren, in the end time. Betrayal. People smiling in your face while they're betraying you behind your back and causing death. Jesus goes on to say in verse 22, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end," and that's what this little end time group, brethren, are going to be doing. They're not going to be in the place of safety, hopefully where we all will be. They're going to be out there in the midst of this thing unfolding, realizing, again, Christ's return is imminent. But it may cause me to lose my physical life. They will come to a violent end, but they then will have a joyful beginning. Verse 23. "When they persecute you in this city, flee to another," just as the early church did. When they were coming after them, they fled to a city. They come to that city, they fled to another. So too, probably during the same time. We have to be so very careful. By then, you know, of course we had this thing uncovered about Mrs. Merkel having her phone tapped there in Germany. We tapped it. You know, this is your ally. We're tapping their phones. And, of course, you had the big thing that came out this week. We are no longer going to spy on our European buddies. Brethren, do you really believe that? But you had to say something because you got caught. Okay, so this will be going on. Imagine being a church member at that time, and is it okay to call Mr. Walsh? Is it really okay? Am I putting him at risk? You know, is it okay to gather at this place? Did everybody take precautions? Kind of gives you a reminder about the Jews, doesn't it? When a van shows up and grabs all of you and throws you in the van and off you go. Where? We don't know. The one resounding truth that will echo continually in the minds and hearts of these brethren, will be the wonderful truth that will bring us together this coming Thursday. They will be so close to the return of Jesus Christ, the portion of God's plan that marks the return of the Son of God. When the prophesied beast of the sea, which pictures that great false church, when it rises and it receives its power and authority from Satan, and it will be directly involved in the killing of God's saints there at the end time of his elect, at the end of that age, look at Revelation 13 and verse 5. Again, as it's speaking these great blasphemies, as people are seeing what, brethren? The lying wonders. And they're going to say, surely this is God. So God, what do you want us to do? Well, you got to round up this little remnant of these Christian people. They're out there, you know, those two men walking around. We got to get them too. And these other ones, they're followers. We need to get them. Revelation 13, verse 5, and he was given a mouth speaking great things. See, great things can be what, family? Great lies. But great things. Adolf Hitler spoke great things, didn't he? And we'll get it done as soon as we get rid of these Jews. There's going to be great things for us. And blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. I mean, it's unbelievable what this thing is going to be capable of doing, brother. And saying, oh, that's gone away. I'm back now. I'm God. So don't worry about all that other stuff. I'm here now. Verse 7, it was granted to him, this beast. Remember, who gave him the authority? Satan did. He said, now look, you go get those people. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Imagine sitting there at that time, brethren, reading a prophecy about yourself. Saying, this is going to happen to us. We see the system. We see the false church. This is what's going to happen to us. It's going to be an intense time. Holding on to your faith, brethren, during this time is going to be so important. Having it already reasoned in your mind that you know there is the potential and knowing I can't try to save my life in that, oh, I was just, I didn't really put God, I mean, I'm just like you. Imagine, again, that's why God said, don't give any thought about what you're going to say. Don't try to think of something, you know, don't try to pontificate, and I'll give you the words. I'll give you the words. Verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship, whose names have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, you see. So again, during this time, these actions and these activities that are going on, again, Satan is behind it. What does Satan want? He wants to be worshipped. Okay. And the vast majority of the inhabitants of this world are going to do it. But he still cannot stand the fact that there are still a little minuscule group that what, family? Defy him. Who are not going to love their lives to death. He can't stand that. Persecuted for their convictions and their love for God. They're going to sleep. It's going to be brief. But they're going to sleep, some of them. Knowing that they're going to wake up soon. So if you were killed on the front end of 3.5 years, you're thinking, you know, it's not going to be long. The world will not have changed much when you awake, which is very different than when King David wakes up and goes, wow, look at this world. What's that called? That's called steel. Never seen steel. What does it do? But you see, some of them will sleep knowing it's going to be for a brief time. For King David, it'll be a brief time too. Wow, how long has it been? I don't know. You know, it's been a couple hundred years, sire. But you know what? That moment, that twinkling of an eye, is going to be right there for them. For these saints, the world will not have changed that much when they're resurrected. Because you see, they will know about it. We saw the beast. We saw it. We saw its rage, its power, its hatred of God. We saw it. And we prayed earnestly for Christ's return to deal with that monster. They will have known much about how the beast and the false prophet who combined their efforts to kill them and to deceive the people into false worship. In Revelation 14, after the first angel flies through the midst of heaven with the gospel, he's followed by a second angel. This one's proclaiming the fall of Babylon, the system. Then we have a third angel, and he's bringing a warning to those who may opt to worship the beast. And because of the saints' denial to worship that idol, brethren, you see, they're sealed. Now, their death is sealed on the one hand, but their eternal life is sealed on the other. God has already planned for their future. Revelation 14, verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." And then we see here, while all this is going on, brethren, the patience of these individuals. It is the patience you and I have, brethren. Because again, this world is really going down this slippery slope, and we're seeing things. He heard a voice. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice, John says, from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." Because some are going to die. He says, blessed are they. Those are God's own saints, his own children, who love him, keep his commandments, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow. Like us, brethren, as we're all going to be a part of that first resurrection, when these saints are resurrected, are they going to be resurrected, coming ready to fight somebody? They going to want a little revenge? You know, get back at those people? No. No. They take their rest. just like our brethren who have gone on before us. They're taking their rest. In Psalm 116, it speaks of God's servants who trust it not in themselves. You see, but we've learned we don't trust in ourselves because we know us. We know our proclivities. We know what we tend to do. You know, we've learned over time to trust God, to trust in His Word, to know our deliverance is not going to be by my hand or any other human being's hand. Our deliverance is coming from above. That's what these individuals be living on, brethren, during this time, that they know. There's no human being down here that's going to, the two witnesses we know are going to die. So they're not going to deliver us either. They're going to be dying, and they're going to be resurrected too. So we already have it reasoned in our minds, our deliverance is coming. This psalm speaks to those brethren who, rather than trust in themselves, they surrendered themselves, not to men, not to men. You see, when these individuals are caught, they're not surrendering to man. It's like, well, I got caught. I couldn't get away. You know, but I'm not going to surrender to you. I have surrendered to God long before you caught me, long before whatever you're going to do to me, you're going to do. I have surrendered myself to my God, and it appears now I'm about to rest from my labors. See, we work. Christ said, I work, my Father, we work. These saints are going to be working too, right up to the end, until it's time to rest from their labors. They realize the great hope of their joyful beginning as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. This psalm begins, I love the Eternal because He has heard my voice and my supplication. I have prayed knowing God has heard me. He hears the prayers of His saints, does He not? You know, they're described as what? Beautiful incense, which is the prayer of His saints. And so, David, I love God because He has heard my voice and my supplication, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. So shall it be for us, so shall it be for this little remnant of the offspring of the woman. They will cry out and pray to God as long as they live. The pains of death surround me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow, which again, when you've been on the receiving end of betrayal, that's what it's like. You're sorrowful. That it hurts because someone you loved betrayed you. What did Christ say to Judas when He kissed him? Judas, you betrayed me with a kiss? Why didn't you just come up and punch me in the face? Why come over and give this, you know, false affection? It'd been just as simple for you to come up and just, you know, pull my beard or spit on me. But there's trouble and sorrow. Then, as God's Spirit works in us, and we begin to compartmentalize the sorrow and the pain and the suffering, then we return to our core, which is returning to our relationship with our Father. Then I called upon the name of the Lord, He says. O Lord, I implore You, deliver my soul. When He's asking, it's not, hey, get me out of it. Let me escape here with my physical life. He's talking about something else, brethren. He's talking about something else. He's talking about what Jesus Christ said while he was on that cross and about to die. And he said, Father, into your hands I deliver my soul. So this is finished. This is over. And as these church members are moving into that area where it looks as though, you know, this looks like it's going to be it. Deliver my soul. I want to be there and to see what my other brethren are going to see. For gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death. You're going to wake up. These people are going to wake up. They're going to open their eyes. My eyes from tears. My feet from falling. What will these who die at the close of the age do when resurrected, brethren? I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to wake up just as God's servants have said in the past. All the days of my life I will wait for my change. As Job said, you're going to call. I'm going to answer. I will walk before the Lord in the land of living. Verse 12. What shall I render to the Eternal for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation. You see, we're not coming up ready to get revenge on people, brethren. We're going to open our eyes and we're going to rejoice at our wonderful new beginning with Jesus Christ and with the saints and call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows to the Eternal now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. As it always has been, brethren, and it will be right at the very end of the age when those saints die, having been overwhelmed by that beast, by Satan. Their death is precious in the sight of God. And when they are raised, and we are raised, brethren, as we turn to Revelation chapter 3, God is going to show his love for his children, his first fruits, Revelation chapter 3, to those who professed religion, to those who professed that they were true Jews, to those who professed that they were true Christians, that they were doing God's will by murdering people. He says, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, because that's where they will be. Though they spout all kinds of fanciful and spiritual and religious things, this is where they are. Having been themselves, brethren, betrayed, and they don't even know it. Who say they are Jews and are not, they lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Precious are the saints, brethren, in the sight of God. For these brethren, many, they will meet a violent end. which will lead to a joyful beginning. So it shall be for the remnant of the offspring of the woman. I'm sure there'll be an earnest desire to keep the Sabbath and the holy days during this significant time, because there'll be so much. I mean, we ourselves now, who live in a world that's still in many ways relative, how much do we long for the Sabbath? How much do we look forward to the holy days? Can you imagine what it will be like for this remnant, brethren? How much they will look towards God's Sabbath day, just to be able to meet. Maybe they won't be able to meet any other time but the Sabbath for fear of being caught. But they will look forward to that Sabbath rest, just as we do. They will look forward to the celebrating of God's holy day plans, as we do. And I'm sure as the time draws near, the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets will have a special place in their heart, because they'll know, even though I die, I know. I know my older brother is close to his return. Let's conclude by going to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Verse 11, Isaiah chapter 60. Therefore, your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also the sons of those who afflicted you. You see, those who inflict through Satan's devices, brethren, the harm that's going to come upon God's children, they're going to come. Some of them are going to live through the Great Tribulation. They're going to live right on through until Christ returns, and they are going to see the very people they killed. With white robes. They will see them with crowns on their heads. And they're going to see. They shall come bowing to you. Yes. The brother who delivered up brother. The father who delivered up the children. The children who delivered up the parents. They're going to come, and they're going to bow to you. And all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet. We will get no haughtiness out of this, no loftiness out of this. For you see, brethren, we would have known because we lived it. And we see that the enemy behind it caused them to sin so. And now these people are coming. Now who's afraid? You know, what's Mr. Travers going to do to me? He knows what I did to him. Will he really in my life? You know, will I be cut asunder? Have I been judged? I did this. They're going to call you the city of the eternal, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles, and the milk the breasts of kings. You shall know that I, the eternal, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. That which we know now, brethren. Like them, brethren, we later come to understand too. You knew from the moment you embraced the way that not everybody perhaps in your family would. Even though some of us maybe tried to convert them. I tried to no avail. Should have known better, but I didn't then. And now surely everybody wants to know the truth, right? No, they don't. No, they don't. And then I learned that knowing this way could cost me my life. At this end time, brethren, they will know. Having embraced it, it would mean the end of their life. At the end of the age, now upon them. There was nothing they could do, but they did expect something, brethren, more than just death. They wait for a reward. They wait for a return. They will wait for a resurrection. They will wait for a final trumpet blast. And they will open their eyes, and they will see their elder brother. And suddenly, the hardest thing, which was not knowing from moment to moment when it would happen, doesn't matter anymore. That's come to pass and now over. For those whom God will call during the final 3.5 years, brethren, they'll be marked by Satan for death. But they will also have been sealed by God for life, for the gift of eternal life through the power of His Holy Spirit. Their sleep will be brief and will awaken as children of light for all eternity and will no longer dwell on their violent end, but rather focus on their joyful new beginning as newborn children of the Most High God. Have a wonderful Feast of Trumpets.